Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Brent Mukai. I'm finally comfortable saying your boy, because now I'm your boy. You understand what I'm saying? I wasn't your boy before. Before, I was just some man. Now I'm your boy. It's your boy, Brent Mukai, coming onto the podcast. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. It's me, Brent Mukai, voice actor, improv trainer, entertainer. If you didn't know, now you know. Thanks for joining me, all of you. Huge, huge, sweet, sweet mukuleles, all of you, you positively adorable looking Brentologists, all of you, you League of Extraordinary Brentlemen, you mukakis out there, how are you doing? How's it going? For me, I'm feeling a little silly, I'm feeling a little goofball energy. I took a weed gummy last night, I fucking woke up still a little bit high. I slept through my alarm. I have not done any of the things I was hoping to accomplish doing today. Look at that plosive filter control. They don't teach that in class. No, they do not, dry wit geek. You know it. You know I'm fucking. You know that your boy is. This is pro status, dude. These are just tips. These are just, you know, I'm just dropping gems for you all. And sometimes I'm not even dropping them in the fucking verbal way. Sometimes you're just looking at the gems and you're like, damn, what fucking gems. Bull hits for Brent. Thanks. I watch Bad Lion. What's up, dude? How are you? Hope that you're doing well. So, what the fuck is up today? Friday, I'm answering questions. Anybody who has one about anything, let's talk, let's learn, huh? Fridays, I don't know. But even, you know what? Like Wednesday, I didn't even fucking really talk about life. So let's talk a little bit about life, huh? Load the questions, ask the questions away as we go. But I'm going to get into it a little bit. How have I been doing? Let's see. I'm on the quest for an LA agent. That is like, in terms of me getting into my dreams of becoming an animated character and becoming a cartoon voice actor, which has been my dream and my goal, and something I've wanted to do since I was a child. By the way, I would watch cartoons and be like, I want to do that, and then I'd practice voices and all of that shit. Like, I, from the time I was a child till now, I've still continued watching cartoons, and I love fucking, I just, cartoons are my life. It is a big part of me. And so I'm now getting within shooting distance of making this dream come true. How? First step towards becoming a working, you know, animated character for the big companies, you know, Disney, Nickelodeon, Cartoon Network, is I need to get LA representation. So I'm a full-time voice actor. I'm doing my thing. I'm super happy. But my goals and my dreams are bigger than that. Bot Mukai has a joke. What did one wall say to the other wall? I'll meet you at the corner. That's pretty bad. Anyways, what's your dream character? Superman. This is the quest for Superman. Like, this journey is like, that's my ultimate goal, is to play Superman in one of the big productions, in a WB, like, and or DC Comics, now that they're getting more into, like, they have their own streaming service and all that shit. Like, I want so badly to be Superman. He was my favorite character when I was growing up. Like, the Superman animated series was really fucking good. And there's something so relatable about Superman, and I feel like Superman. Like, I always have thought that way. Like, even when I was a comedian and I was going, I would literally, like, the thing, like, I was working a shitty job that I hated, where nobody understood, like, the dreams that I had. And I would work that job, and it would be like, and I would tell myself, this is the Clark Kent part of my day, where I'm sitting here and nobody knows that when I get out of this job, and that when I go out and do my thing, I am Superman. Like, I am, you know, I have this superpower to make people laugh. I remember walking through casinos as I was right before I was about to do a show, you know, walking past people in line. It's just kind of cool being like, nobody knows that I have this special gift that I'm going to share with the world. And so it was like, it always helped me keep things in perspective and be, you know, have gratitude. I like Superman is to me like one of the top characters, and a lot of people shit on him now because it's like, oh, he's so overpowered and it doesn't even make sense, right? It's like blah, blah, blah. But the thing was, like, the Superman I grew up with and the Superman I fell in love with was Superman the animated series, and I loved how much they did with him, how much his character was just there, and he was always this character of like. It was just so interesting to me because it was just a much more interesting character dynamic to me because he was always in this inner turmoil of being too powerful. So for Superman, it was always a question of how do I remain humble and grounded in humanity. Because all it would take is one wrong move. If I have one bad day, it could mean the destruction of everything, right? Like, he has the power to destroy everything. And so for him, it's like this inner turmoil of like, I need to make sure that I stay righteous and I stay, you know, vigilant on all of my own. So it's just like this constant thing of like growing up and he's from another planet, and yet he's trying his best to fit in with humanity. And so, like, there's so many beautiful things that happen. And everybody is like, DC is like, Batman, 100%, Batman, Batman, Batman. And it's like, well, Batman is, like, awesome. And I get the appeal of Batman. I understand the appeal of Batman so strongly. Like, he's such a cool character, but I don't relate to Batman. Batman is like the opposite, where he's always showing people what he's doing despite not having powers and despite not being the strongest. So he has to rely on everything else. I like Superman because it's like he has all of this. So then it becomes incumbent upon him to keep himself in check at all times. And that's such a fucking to me, that's like what I aspire to. You know, it gives me something to aspire to. It's like, I don't have any of that power. If I got any power, like, I want to wield it in a way that's going to be good and positive, so. All right. Buzz or Woody, if you could have voiced one. Fuck. That's a tough one. It's a real, real tough one. If I could have voiced one, I would have preferred to be, I guess I would have preferred to be Woody. I guess I would have preferred to be Woody. He's just like the everyman, you know. He's like the character that we see that is like so relatable. He's just the more human character. Buzz was just like the train wreck comedy piece of Toy Story, which was just like ah yes I am. Look at me. He was just like the crazy wild card. You didn't know what was gonna happen, and so it was like funny, you know. And it was funny to watch Woody have to deal with him. So Woody in a lot of ways is like the straight character, but it's like if everybody thought Buzz Lightyear was the coolest, if Woody wasn't there, then that movie would have sucked. Like Woody is the linchpin in that entire movie, because without Woody, there's no fucking movie. Which I really, you know. I mean, I guess you could say the same about Buzz, but like I could watch a movie about Woody going through life and like trying to figure out his place in life, being Andy's favorite toy and all that. Buzz is like an element of change, right? He's just like Buzz is just the catalyst. Buzz is just the catalyst for change, and I much prefer Woody. I totally relate more to Woody. So being like the straight character, right, as we call it in the comedy world, that's like a big thing. Let's see. I love Superman. He's amazing. I even use my nickname as Superman. Cool. Dude, yeah, Superman is cool. I mean, there's a reason why he's still around. Everyone is kind of like that. We all have a secret self. I feel like he's too powerful was his villain more than anything else. Yeah, the Superman definitely, the most important thing for Superman is having a good villain. What's up, spoiling spoiler? How you doing? What's up, hoax not negotiable? Hope you're doing well. Any thoughts on Superman and or Toy Story? I'm excited about the next Wonder Woman movie. Nice to see a super lady getting the good treatment. Yeah, I haven't seen the other Wonder Woman movie. I haven't seen Aquaman. I haven't seen Justice League. I'm so behind. I'm so fucking behind on the superhero movies. I still haven't seen Endgame. And yes, I did say that right. Endgame. I haven't seen that other Avengers movie, the one that sets up the one that everybody's, you know, I haven't seen these. I feel like I'm missing out. I know all this. I feel like I know a lot of spoilers too, because it's like I took so long to watch it, but whatever. I'll still enjoy it. Yeah, and I'm glad. I'm glad to see Wonder Woman did really well in theaters. And then Captain Marvel, I don't remember if they did well, but I feel like they did well. So that's pretty cool. It's a buddy movie. Yeah, it is. It's pretty much a buddy movie. I hear good things about the Avengers. I do too. Nerdy Diva Nikki. I've heard some people think Superman is a Gary / Mary Sue. Do you think that's accurate? Yes. Yes. Superman. Well, it's all in the light. It's all in how you play him. Because the thing is, like, it's all in what you decide to follow. Is he I think that a Mary Sue, right? And for those of you not familiar with the term, is a character who's so overpowered he becomes unrelatable. Well, and is just for plot points. Basically, he just becomes a meme of himself because he's just there for a plot point, right? Superman, the best part of Superman to me is that he's. His biggest weakness isn't kryptonite. His biggest weakness is that he's human. Is that he is his humanity. And if we're looking straight up just at the stats of his powers, sure, you could say that he's a Mary Sue. But what I appreciated in the cartoons and what I appreciated in the cartoon Justice League and the way he got portrayed when WB started cranking out the cartoons in the mid 90s, early 2000s. What I loved most was that he wasn't perfect. It was an imperfect Superman. So in that regard, no. In the 80s cartoons, where it was basically just Superman comes in, punches out the villain, gets hit with some kryptonite ray, but then still has to punch out the villain. Yeah, that to me is Mary Sue, but I think that the true virtue of a Mary Sue is that they're perfect in all of the facets that they do, and so that there's never anything wrong. I think that it's not just physical power, but it's in their character, right? So in that regard, I don't think in some incarnations Superman is a Mary Sue. I think when he started out, he was just like the powerful guy. Like if you look at the history of Superman, it's actually very interesting because it was who was it written by? Let's look it up, shall we? Let's look it up. I remember watching. It's not Bob Kane. I keep thinking Bob Kane, but that was Superman creator. That was Batman. Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, right? The tragic real story behind Superman's birth. I watched part of like a documentary, and I think it was Siegel who talked about he was a Jewish kid. He was a Jewish kid. He had come from a foreign country, and he felt helpless, and he wanted to feel more powerful, and so he. he created this character that he could live vicariously through, who was an outsider. That's the most important thing to me, is that Superman is an outsider, and no matter it, his power is his greatest ability to help, but it's also the same thing that makes him an outsider. And so in becoming Superman, he has to sacrifice a part of himself, which is the part that wants to fit in and just be himself, that just wants to be like everybody else. But because that's the burden he's born with, is the power of power. And so, like, in thinking about it, it's just so crazy, because it's like he doesn't have to do anything. He could just be a normal guy, and it's just like he just wants to be this normal guy, but he has this higher calling. He has this higher calling that he can't ignore because he's been blessed with a gift. And my favorite versions of Superman is when he doesn't want to do it anymore. Shit like that. He's both loved and feared for it. Exactly. It's just a whole diagnosis of like power, of like all of it. Like, think of the most powerful people. You know, think of the most powerful people. We love them, but we fear them. There's a fear there, you know, that they have too much power. They're loved and feared by many. Like, any time, you know, like, let's see. I liked Endgame so much more than Infinity War. Yeah, I haven't seen Infinity War either. I'm teching improv this week, and at the rehearsal, I'm thinking of asking to play for fun. Do you have any improv thoughts for someone who hasn't played in a while? Go and have fun. That's it. Number one, go and have some fun. Be in the moment. It's just a muscle. Don't take it too seriously. That's what I say to everybody that I teach improv to. Don't take this too seriously. This is the least important thing you're going to do all week. If you run one errand, that's more important than the entirety of any improv class. So get it out of your head. I'm teaching an improv class tonight, actually, funny enough. Let's see. Kind of hilarious because the term originated from a Star Trek fan fiction in the 80s where the main character was named Mary Sue. Right. This all-powerful, all-knowing, all-everything being. Superman can be that, right? Superman can totally be that, but where Superman was born out of was, let's look at this article, shall we? Let's take a look at the article. The long-held belief was that Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, the geeky teenagers who invented Superman in the 1930s, dreamed up the powerful hero as a way to attract girls at their Ohio high school. But now it appears that personal tragedy, rather than a quest to win over their peers, could be the real story behind Superman's birth. Jerry Siegel's father, Mitchell, a Jewish immigrant from Lithuania, died during a nighttime robbery at his Cleveland secondhand clothes store. The 60-year-old fell to the ground during the robbery. According to the police report, gunshots were heard. Siegel's family and the coroner, however, said he died of a heart attack. Was it the sudden loss of his father that pushed a distraught 17-year-old to invent a bulletproof super being to avenge evil and fight for good? That's the theory of best-selling author Brad Meltzer, who researched Mitchell Siegel's death for his new novel, The Book of Lies, in which he draws parallels between Siegel's murder and another true mystery, the killing of Abel by his brother Cain. Interesting. In 50 years of interviews, Jerry Siegel never once mentioned that his father died in a robbery. But think about it. Your father dies in robbery, and you invent a bulletproof man who becomes the world's greatest hero. I'm sorry, but there's a story there. Yeah, it's like, you know, Superman was born out of... Oh, shit. Oopsies. Superman was born out of, like... So, yeah, exactly. Some people with power are okay, but some abuse it. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing, is that Superman's greatest feat isn't that he is fighting villains and doing all this stuff. In the Justice League cartoons and all that stuff, there's this phenomenal moment. And it hit me so hard. It was just this phenomenal moment where he's fighting Darkseid. And he basically is like, you have no idea how hard it is for me to hold back so I don't end up killing somebody, even if they're a bad guy. You have no idea how hard it is to not use my whole strength. And he basically is like, I'm glad that I can finally go full on all out with somebody here. I can completely go full out because it's so hard. It's much harder to hold back than it is to unleash this all. And it's just like, fuck, dude. That's his greatest feat is that he remains a constant of justice. That's, to me, his greatest. And it's just this internal struggle. It's just this internal struggle, and it's the internal struggle of everybody. We can choose to do good or we can choose to do bad. And, you know, the manifestation of somebody who chooses to do good, and it's not easy, even when it's not easy. That's why Lex Luthor as Superman's main villain is the most interesting, is because it's this man. It's just a man. It's a weak man who has more power than Superman in a lot of ways. But it's a question of power in what ways and how we wield that power. And Lex Luthor lets the power go to his head and is corrupted by the power. As a man, as an actual man. And Superman, right, as somebody who is not a man, has to live by man's rules and by man's judgment. And it's just, there's so many levels to it and themes that resonate. But the Superman that I think of and the Superman I talk about, because I've watched the 80s cartoon, I didn't enjoy it too much, but it doesn't hold up the test of time, you know? It's definitely a kid's cartoon. It was very much a kid's cartoon. Whereas the Justice League and Superman shows and Batman the Animated Series, they made those, you know, as a disguise, like kids could enjoy them, but adults would enjoy them too. Being good probably isn't going to make you popular because you'll be wanting what is best for everyone and not the people at the top. Right. And so there's internal struggle. There's just struggle there. And there's this beautiful... That's what the beautiful thing is, right? Do you think writing Hero with Dead Parents is a cliche plot catalyst? And how could it be more cleverly implicated whether or not you think it's cliche? Motherfucking Brooks Lyle, how you doing? Motherfucking Brent, motherfucking Brooks, how you doing, bro? Hope you're well. We're talking about writing, we're talking about Superman, we're talking about a bunch of nerdy shit, so it's right up your alley, man. Do you think writing a hero with dead parents is a cliche plot catalyst? And how could it be more cleverly implicated whether or not you think it's cliche? I don't think that it is a cliche plot. Well, okay. It depends how you define this. If your meaning cliche means negative, then no. Not at all. I don't think that it is. I don't think that it is, like, negative. I think that it's a cliche. I think that it's something that we keep seeing over and over and over again because it's just a part of the journey. It's just a part of the journey of life, you know? Or the hero's journey, if you will, right? About all that shit. It's just a part of it. If you look at some, I mean, they keep doing it over and over and over again. Harry Potter, Superman, Batman, you know, Spider-Man. Some of the most prolific people, Naruto. some of the most, you know, famous superheroes. Some of the best received superheroes of all time. Most of them. Almost all of them were orphans. Were orphans, and there's a reason why it keeps coming back. It's because it's just since the dawn of time. That's the most. That is. I mean, are we going to go psychological here? Is this? I think it's because having to deal with that tragedy early on and coming out of it the other side a stronger person for it is something admirable. Because the question is always like, what's one of the worst things that could happen to a child? It's like they lose their parents. And so with that being said, there are two sides of that coin. And a lot of times it's like it ups the stakes and it raises the stakes, you know. It just makes the stakes much higher, in my opinion. And that's what good storytelling is. It's high stakes. So is it cliche? In the sense that people use it all the time? Yes, it is. But is there a reason for it? Yes, there definitely is a reason for it. It's because you can showcase two different sides of the coin. That's why a lot of times, like, the, you know, to show the differences between the hero and the villain, it's like the hero's parents are killed, and so are the villain's parents are killed, and so then we can see this nice contrast between people who choose the right thing to do and people who don't. Like, Iron Man, Spidey. Yeah. Well, I don't think that it's a cliche, Gas Man, Scoop. I don't think that it's a cliche in a bad sense. I think that it is a repetitive pattern. I think that's what it is. I should probably stop telling my kids they can't be heroes while I'm alive. Yeah, that's how you breed a supervillain that then kills his parents so that he can become a superhero. But in killing his parents, he's become a bad guy. What a strange tale that would be. I would read that. I would read the fuck out of that graphic novel about a kid who dreams of being a superhero, sees that no superheroes have parents, and so kills his parents in order to become a superhero. That's crazy. Someone having a picture-perfect life would not make an interesting story. Exactly. So it gives them that, you know, it gives them... What else? You immediately feel sympathy for the character. And so the second you sympathize with the character... the second that you sympathize with the character is the second that you have a deeper connection to the character, right? Aladdin. Aladdin, he's my favorite. He's my favorite of all of them. But maybe that's why Aladdin is more popular than Hercules. Even though I love the movie Hercules, it's like Hercules' dad is right there. He's like, yes, come back to the mountain, right? It's a great moment, but I should turn this off now. Jake is listening and nodding. Put the knife down, Jake. Put the knife down. It is exactly. They have to overcome adversity. Gossamer Goddess, that's 100% correct. You do have to overcome adversity. What for a child could be more, could cause more adversity than losing your parents? I think that's why. And I'm sorry, Nerd Even Nikki, what was the second? And how could it be more cleverly implicated, whether or not you think it's cliche? More cleverly implicated. Okay. Aladdin was Michael Jackson's favorite. He was often heard to say we should get Aladdin. It's a good question. How could it be more cleverly implicated, whether or not you think it's cliche? Well, here's the thing. I think that, like, implemented? Yeah. I know what you meant. I knew what you meant, Nerdy Demon Nikki. Let's see. I mean, it's all just in the way that you craft the character, and it's like, does this make sense with the themes that we're going for? You know, is there... That's it. I guess it's in line with, like, the themes, right? And so it's just like it leaves the character nowhere to turn. It leaves the character nowhere to turn, and so that makes it more interesting as well. Like, if Aladdin had a dad and a mom that were just sitting there and like, you know, he goes through his troubles and then it just takes away that. So then it has to be that. For Aladdin, I mean, the theme of the movie is that you make who you're going to be. That you craft the narrative of your own life. That's, like, Aladdin's whole theme. So if he had, parents there, right, to, like... If he had parents there to basically stand there, like, I mean, I just don't think that it's as strong of a movie, you know? So it comes back to, like, what is the theme? What is the theme of this, right? what is the theme of the story? And so, like, let's see, like, for Incredibles, it's a very different thing, which is that your family is something that you should value, and that your family is important, and that it, for the Incredibles, it was the opposite story, which was not that you craft your own destiny, but that the people that you love and surround yourself with should be a part of your story. So here we have Mr. Incredible, who wants to go back to his glory days of being Mr. Incredible and being the star and the all of it, right? And then he comes to find out that now that he has a family, that he can trust other people and that other people should be trusted. So that's why that wouldn't work. And you know what I mean? Like, if in The Incredibles, it's like, okay, well, my parents are destroyed, you know, that's why that didn't happen in the movie Incredibles. None of it happened, you know. It's a different story. I mean, it's a whole different story if you kill Mr. Incredible and Mrs. Incredible, and now the kids have to somehow do something strong, you know. But the whole story of the whole thematic theme of Incredibles was just like, you know, does that make sense? Brent's punishment for his indiscretion shall be a chastity belt. That's a possibility, at least for one of them. That's great. I hate seeing it. At Brooks Lyle, what if you faking your death causes them to become super villains? Oh, such a good. We're just pitching some good ideas here. Brent's punishment for his indiscretion shall be a chastity belt. I should. How did you know I have a chastity belt in my deep in my closet? So that's how it's implemented well. If the character it comes back to theme, right? It comes back to, like, what is the theme? What am I actually talking about here? What is actually going on? And it just ups the stakes. It's a way to up the stakes, and the way to cleverly do it is to have a reason for it. Because if there's no reason, or if the reason doesn't fit the theme, right, then why are we doing that? What is the point, you know? So I hope that makes sense to people. I hope that long drawn out answer makes at least some kind of sense. But storytelling wise, like, what's the fucking theme? Like, what is your theme? What are you trying to say? Naruto, I think a big piece of why that show, like, just got shitty and just like, it was not good at the end. I watched the whole thing and was so disappointed at the end. It's because it lost its theme. It lost its theme. Did my parents die? No, they didn't die. My friend asked me why the parent death thing is such a big thing in all of these stories and the Superman thing. The creator of Superman lost his father in a bank robbery or some type of robbery. He lost his father to a gun. And so he wrote Superman. I know you want to be a superhero. Going to become Kinkman? Maybe. If Brent was hit by a radioactive wave and amplified something in him, what would his powers be? I don't know. Power to... What would my powers be if I amplified, I don't know, the power to be sexy as fuck? When he speaks, Lady Erotica comes out. I just got hired for another one of their projects, too. I just got hired for another one, so that'll be cool. Yeah, another project by the app Dipsy. So, ladies, if you want to get yourself off with narrations by Brent, you have that ability. The ability to hold off masturbating, I already got that power, man. I've been going strong. I haven't done it. I slipped once, but I'm fine with that. It's been like 3 months. It's been like 3 months, so it can't be his sight. I don't know. I'd like it to be something like the power to make people feel better. Spread more positivity. Just have light shine from me. And anyone who sees it just feels better. That would be cool. Wet seats everywhere. Yeah, wet and sticky. My signature moves. My two favorite attributes about myself. People always like, write down your three biggest strengths in like a job interview. It's like wet, sticky. Sorry, I just couldn't think of a third. Just too much good stuff going on here. Lost a few viewers on that. Okay. Let's see. And who would my, I don't know, somebody who's just negative all the time coming in, being like, it's just troll man. It's just, I don't know. A troll. Healing warmth. You can cure the wounded. That would be great. Web slinger, but it's in his pants. Exactly. Just like the in the first Spider-Man movie where it's, where we see that part where he's just like, like it comes out of it. Such a weird moment looking back at it. You never catch it when you're watching it, but yeah, Tobey Maguire and having that movie be about, you know, maturity and all that stuff, but it's just interesting. Interesting stuff. So yeah, I think that the theme, like Naruto's original theme, right, was like this, all this stuff about the ninja way, like your own way, like the way that you're going to navigate through your life. It was very Aladdin-ish in its themes, where it's like everybody has their way of doing things, and it's about you crafting your own path, right? And so that's why it was such an interesting thing, and that was the theme. It was such an early on theme, and it was like, you know, Naruto, Sasuke, the two main characters, you know. You know, that's just like having those themes there is just it fit. And then they abandoned the themes later on in the show, in the series, and it fucking goes by the wayside, and so then the themes don't make sense anymore, and then so then it doesn't make sense. Why do we need dead parents in that? Because if it's like it's about choosing your own path and choosing your own way and your parents chose their own way and blah, 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 right? Then that makes sense. The other way, it doesn't. It's just like, okay, well, oops. You know, really would have preferred that some other shit happened, but I mean, as is, it's excusable because it's like, well, fuck, dude. It's like fucking 800 episodes long and shit. Like, yeah, Naruto's not easy. But I digress. So any time that Superman in, like, the early, like, there was, because there definitely was a time where it just became, okay, well, Superman's gonna go and fucking, Superman's gonna beat up the villain, and then there's another villain who has kryptonite, and people thought that people got it twisted that Superman's biggest weakness was the kryptonite, and then that was their crutch, was using kryptonite as the thing, when the biggest weakness of Superman was his humanity and the fact that he wanted to save everybody, but no one can, and that he's still just a man. He's still just a person. That's the Superman that it gets. That's where Superman gets interesting. If I'm being honest, that's where Superman gets interesting. The villain is a lady called Negative Nancy. Yeah, Negative Nancy. And I'm just like, oh, I feel better. She's like, no, I don't wanna feel better. I want to feel worse. And I don't think positivity. I don't know. I don't know if positivity is it. I don't know if it's something comedic. I don't know what my superpower would be. What else you want to talk about, everybody? Anything you want to say? Anything you want to talk about? What's going on in my life? Teaching that improv class. After this, I'm going to help out with my mentor's podcast. I'm going to have her on this podcast at some point soon. I've wanted her on my podcast for forever. So, yeah, she's the owner of the voice actor's studio, all of that. Superman can't save us from ourselves. And that's the worst part, right? Is that, like, Lex Luthor is always going to be an asshole. And it's like Superman is like, oh, you know, like you can't change people. Like with all the power he has, his power is still limited. God, I feel I they destroyed their own planet a lot in the way ours. Yeah. Are you going to be at the comedy sports show tonight? No, I wish that I could be, but I'm teaching improv tonight. Yeah, they switched to Fridays just in time for me to have Friday classes that I teach. So it's like a constant like, oh, Sundays? Okay, cool. I'm finally free Sundays. Oh, you moved it to Fridays. Okay, well, that's a bummer. No, that's fine. I know I watch Bad Lion. Go check it out, though. Go check it out. Have fun with the comedy. Are you going to be there? I hope you go over. Watch a little bit. Have some improv funds. So I'm going after this to meet up with my mentor and her podcasting partner, and gonna help them out. He's too funny. They won't let him. Ha ha ha. If only. Lex Luthor's flaw is fear. Fear of someone who can destroy us all and wants to save us from the villain that is here. Exactly. Like if Lex Luthor. And that's the brilliance. That's the brilliance. Is that Lex is like. There's a man who's too powerful. And like when we talk about Superman and Lex Luthor. Like you always have to like. They've been taken into so many very, very interesting places. So that is something that I always have to take into consideration as well. Is like, oh, right. Like the Superman I remember might not be the Superman someone else remembers. But man, when they did the death of Superman, that was a big deal. Like I wasn't around for it. But like watching old videos about it, it's like, fuck, that was a big deal. Like people were upset that Superman was going to die. This guy who'd always been there, you know? So, man, I'll be there. I need to learn as much as possible. Well, yeah, it's going to be fun, too. But the Lex Luthor, like, Lex Luthor being afraid that Superman is going to destroy us all, and that's his whole thing, is, like, he's trying to do this for the good of humanity, and so he amasses enough power. That's the thing, though, too, is that, like, he has power in all the ways that Superman doesn't. Like, that's the most incredible part, is like, man, it's just so fascinating. But yeah, for Superman, I don't know, if I had to say a Superman theme, like a theme of Superman, I would say Superman's theme is like being an outsider that wants nothing more than to be normal and have a normal life. But it's the internal struggle of using your gifts for good, even when you don't want to, because of a higher calling. That's, to me, Superman. Even when using your gifts is the thing that makes you stand out, it's the thing that makes you stand out that makes you great. And that normalcy, right? The normal isn't the thing. That's the Superman that I always like. That's the Superman I would love to play. Because I get that, where it's like it becomes an acceptance of the things that don't make you normal are your biggest superpowers in general. That's it. Even though you try to be normal and you dress up and you look normal, the thing you're going to be loved for is for letting who you are shine. That, to me, is like the theme of Superman. Hobby's theory is that in the absence of Superman, Lex would be a hero. Him trying to stop Superman is the problem. Ooh, that's... tell your husband. That's some deep-ass shit. I love that. I love that a lot, actually. In the absence of Superman, Lex would be a hero. Well, Lex is a hero in his own mind. Lex is a hero in his own mind. You know? I would be interested to watch, like, a cartoon where it's, like... It's... exploring Lex Luthor's point of view, in that there's this high up man, this man who is perfect. And in the comics, it's interesting, because I think in the comics, like, what was the original? In the comics, Lex Luthor, and I might be imagining this, but it was in the cartoon, so I'm assuming it came from the early comics, like the old-ass cartoon. Lex Luthor was actually a scientist who was trying to create a cure for Superman because of his kryptonite, his weakness to kryptonite. So he wanted to help Superman. But then the barn catches fire, and Superman blows all of the flames away, and then also blows off Lex Luthor's hair, and so Lex gets mad and says and curses Superman and says he's going to be an antagonist to him. I am not making that up. I know that I've seen that in a fucking cartoon. What was the original meeting of Lex Luthor and Superman? Let's learn something, shall we? Let's see. Originally introduced as a mad scientist whose schemes Superman would routinely foil, Lex's portrayal has evolved over the years and his characterization has deepened. Okay. And has since endured the arch enemy of Superman creation. In his first appearance, Luthor is depicted as a diabolical genius and is referred only by his surname, Luthor. He resides in a flying city suspended by a dirigible and plots to provoke a war between two European nations? Oh my god. In these early stories, Luthor's schemes center around financial gain or megalomaniac ambitions. Unlike most later incarnations, he demonstrates no strong animosity towards Superman beyond... He's shown as a middle-aged man with a full head of red hair. Less than a year later, however, an artistic mistake resulted in Luthor being depicted as a completely bald in a newspaper strip. The original error is attributed to Leo Nowak, a studio artist. Wow. Luthor's design was confused with that of a stockier bald henchman. Luthor's next appearance occurs in Superman number 10. What was Lex Luthor's original backstory? But yeah, I definitely remember. So they were going for he was a mad scientist. I always hated when they made Luthor a real estate baron, make him us fearful of Superman and the one man capable of saving us. That is the original Luthor, right? That's why I hold back my true powers. I wouldn't want someone taking me out. Oh, man. So what you're saying is if you had a PhD, you would have been Lex Luthor. Probably. I'm bald enough for it. That's why I hold back my powers. And that's the genius part, Brooks. I know you're joking, but that's the genius part is that Superman could easily just be like, I'm not going to be Superman. The world does not want a Superman. People fear me. And that's the genius part of it, is that he's trying his best to do good, but in doing good, it's this internal struggle of, I'm also creating a lot of bad. That's such heavy stakes. Let's see. Pre-crisis. Full head of red hair. Well, scientist, the origin. Luthor is unknown. Even his nationality is not certain. He attempted to sabotage a European. The original Luthor, who did not have a first name, was one of many pulps inspired mad scientists. Yep. Until he was foiled time and time again. In 1960, it was explained that during his youth, Luthor had been friends with Superboy, but later blamed him for a laboratory accident that caused his hair to fall out. I knew it. I fucking knew it. Yes. Yes. Oh, God. In trying to exact revenge on the hero, Luthor developed into a criminal. Over time, he became Superman's greatest foe. That was the original. Nobody knows about this. That was the original fucking story. of Lex Luthor was none of that fucking phenomenal shit of trying to save the world. He fucking got his hair blown out in a laboratory accident trying to help cure Superman of his weakness to kryptonite because they were friends. The laboratory catches fire and Superman blows it out with his super breath, but along with blowing out the flames, blows out Lex Luthor's fucking hair. And Lex Luthor gets so mad he becomes his fucking arch nemesis. How great is that? Oh shit, is this how you tell a Superman made your hair fall out? Exactly. That's kind of lame. Not my hair! Not my beautiful, long, red hair! It's super lame, but it's like, it's really fucking funny. Like, it's it's just the way that you theme your story and how the perspective from which you decide to take your story. Because Lex Luthor as a fucking, they really hit the sweet spot when they went with Lex Luthor fearing Superman. All of his motives are based out of fear, and so he is a good guy, and he's trying. I would love to watch that, you know, watch the movie about Lex, like, seeing a threat, a legitimate threat of a man so powerful that what if he turns on us? That shit's brilliant. Militant Brailer, I'm glad you know all about it. and that you know all in general. what a weird story, right? What a weird thing to say. What a weird thing to what a weird thing to write, really. When my hair goes, that's when I start going to mad scientist school. You know, the trick is you gotta go to scientist school, and in the middle of it, your hair falls out, and then you become mad scientist. That's Batman's thinking. Always have a game plan. Exactly. Which is why it's so interesting. Like, they rarely ever do it, but, like, why doesn't Bruce Wayne and Lex Luthor have more time together? I would love to see. That's why Lex could never be Batman's arch nemesis, is because Batman partially agrees with Lex. Like, in that incarnation, that's so fucking interesting, right, to explore. Why don't we see more of that? Like, Lex approaches Batman, or Lex approaches Batman and says, do you really trust this man? Do you really trust that any man is above the fucking law? And that you're as powerless as I am, right? You're as powerless as I am in the face of a Superman. So, why don't Batman doesn't need Lex, though? I know, but what an interesting story that would be. Seeing that team up. Seems like the lore gets better with time as they get it all figured out. Exactly. The lore gets better because it's like for one thing, storytelling has come up, because it's like now we're in the mode of like we want to think about real shit and there's real stuff, you know? Like, you can get so much more real with all this stuff now than you ever could back in the days with, like, really strict Hays Code shit, you know? Batman has a plan for every one of the supers, doesn't he? Yes, he does. That's his whole thing. Like, in the Justice League cartoon, that is exactly what is stated and said over and over again. Batman becomes, like, the overpowered. He becomes more powerful than all of the other fucking superheroes because he's just, like, his power is he has the power to fill any plot hole that there might be. That's Batman's power in Justice League, is like, look at how well I can patch this hole in logic for this episode. This hole, you know how you have that hole in the story? Well, I created the antidote for that because I'm fucking Batman, and now I'm going to save the day. Not to say that's any knock at all on the original series, but that is something that they did time and time again. Was like, oh, let's just have Batman take care of it because he's fucking Batman. That's of course that's what he's going to do. Why have anyone else save the day when it could be Batman, the least powerful one? Like, at a certain point, they were like, okay, well, we want Batman to have a purpose here. we want Batman to, like, do stuff, so we got to make him badass. But then they cross a certain point where Batman became, like, is there anything you can't do, Batman? I feel like you just took down everybody. There's an episode where he takes down, like, 6 super-powered villains all by himself, and it's the most badass way to start the episode. It's the most badass thing ever. But that was, like, the slope that then became, like, Batman can fucking destroy everybody. He can just wreck everything and everyone. I don't know. His power is money. Batman works in mysterious ways, I know. He even has a plan for himself called the Justice League. Great line. Oh, that's a great, great line. What happens if you go crazy? Well, then you're there. The entire Justice League is there. He can literally just throw money at everything. I know, and it's great. And that's not to say that Batman doesn't have a lot of phenomenal themes around him. So let's explore that, shall we? It's like the two ways that Batman is powerless. Batman is completely powerless, but feels an obligation and need to do something good with the shitty cards he's been dealt. Right? Exact opposite. Superman is blessed with the greatest abilities of all time. And so he basically, even though he just wants to be normal, says that because I've been blessed with this, I need to rise above all of the hatred that will come and all of my own personal fear of losing humanity and do this and become this symbol, right? That's Superman. Batman is basically like, I have nothing. I have no power, so I need to train and become something. I need to become better. Batman is a constant struggle of overcoming your own shortcomings, right? That's the theme of Batman is overcoming your own shortcomings so that you can do some good, do some type of good, and be the thing that other people can't be, because that's Batman's whole thing, is like he can do the things Superman can't, you know? What about that Batman who laughs, takes out heroes in multiple universes? Oh, I don't know that Batman. That scene with Batman and Ace in JLU, though, I want to cry whenever I watch it. Justice League Unlimited, oh my god, dude. Yes, that moment is so fucking good. I guess it goes ultimate when you combine him with Joker. Yeah, exactly. He owns everything. Right, but like Iron Man is like, I don't know. Batman is like somebody that you are aspiring towards, because it's like in the face of losing everything, you still choose to do the right thing. And even in the face of losing your own humanity, right? Even in the face of losing your own humanity and everything that makes you human, to do this thing and to be a symbol for justice in the darkest ass way possible, like, yeah. Batman kind of represents that. So that's the thing. That's the thing that a lot of people argue about in the differences between DC and Marvel, is that DC came around when people wanted a symbol and something greater to aspire to and believe in. I've heard this exact same argument before. So it's like Superman, he's all powerful. He can do anything. He doesn't have to worry about death, right? But he still stands as a symbol of peace and justice. Batman, despite his dark past, he's doing the best he can to be good and to be a good person. And it's a question of what makes a good person. Where is that slide? Where is the slope of doing right, of doing not so great things for the right reasons? Where is that line drawn in the sand? And that's a beautiful thing, too. But he always ultimately comes out on that other end of doing the right thing, right? In fact, the most interesting parts is where he tiptoes across that line, but doesn't cross it. And then, with the Marvel, right? Wonder Woman, she's from this island of Amazons and is trying to fit in, but she's very confident in everything that you would want to be and aspire to be. Marvel, on the other hand, when they came around, they were dealing with more social issues. And so they had characters that weren't people, necessarily people that you aspired to, but people that you related to. So Marvel came out and had people like Ant-Man, who had a fucking, who was an alcoholic. He was a troubled alcoholic and an abuser and a fucking wife beater. Like, he was like, that's the thing. Like, Marvel was so good at making imperfect heroes. And so Iron Man, while a lot of people make that Iron Man, Bruce Wayne, you know, Batman, like, comparison, they're not quite the same. Because Tony Stark gets taken by his fame and all of that shit. Tony Stark is a huge asshole. These are crafting very, very, very relatable characters. Spider-Man is born because he does the wrong thing. That's what makes Spider-Man so interesting, and that's why we watch his origin story so many times, is because Marvel is more human. Exactly. It was when it was sometime in the 90s, early 2000s that I think DC saw what was going on and then started making the DC comics more relatable, more human, right? More these guys aren't perfect, because, you know, Superman definitely, he started out as like the perfect being that people wanted to, he'd always save the day, but that's what the time needed at that time. You know, Superman came out during the war. Superman came out during wartime, which, let's see, first issue of Superman was what? Superman year. Superman 1938, dude. That's a lot of crazy shit. What was going on? What was going on in 1938? Let's see. Dude, what war was going on? World War II was going on. Like, this is just like, fuck, dude. It was dark. It was really, really dark, dude. And so people wanted like a symbol to aspire towards. That was the thing. Like, It was a time period thing, so like the things and the time periods that people are going through, like that's just yeah. Superman was like going around punching out Nazis and shit, you know? Like, man, that was the toughest. That was like a tough era to be a part of. Can you imagine wars going on? You don't know what's happening. You want to be assured. You don't want somebody who you're reading about being relatable. You know what I mean? You don't want to be like sitting there like having a superhero who's afraid of going in. You wanna have somebody who can go away and take away that pain, and it makes you feel like maybe you can take away that pain too, you know? What up, Tut? How you doing? Brooks Lyle. The day Brent learned about World War II. Exactly. So Superman came out when Red Skull and Cap were fighting. Yeah, but the interesting part was, like, Captain America, all that shit didn't come out till like, much later on. Captain America, first appearance year. Oh, 1941. I didn't know that it was so close. I thought that he had come out in the 50s, 60s time. But yeah, people needed heroes. People needed heroes, and not necessarily heroes that looked like them and acted like them, but they wanted better things. Captain America, also, I would say, not one of people's favorite superheroes. Why was Spider-Man so much more popular? It's because they took a whole different spin on the way that the... Because that was what people wanted at that time. Spider-Man, first appearance year. 1962. There we go. But that's why Spider-Man's a much more relatable character, because he caused his own tragedy. And so it's like, born from his mistakes came his overall power and ability and outlook on life. And so it was just like, people resonated strongly with that. So, you know, it is what it is. Superman came out. Yeah. Dudes, it's like, yeah. That's the difference. That's the big difference, though, between Marvel and DC, is that DC came out a lot sooner and was like, okay, they came out at a time when people wanted these icons. They wanted icons, not people. And then Marvel came around, and the birth and the biggest boom of Marvel was definitely Spider-Man, X-Men, where the characters were going through things that people could relate to. Because in the 60s, that's what started being popular, is because, you know, the wars were over. Well, not all the wars, but, you know, the craziness of the fear of people coming in and invading and all that stuff. Like, Vietnam might have happened, but that was like, you know, that was far away. That was like, they're not going to come over in their ships heavily armed and fucking, you know, like that was a whole other thing. Marvel heroes seem like they're trying to be relatable. Exactly. That's the whole thing with Marvel heroes. It's relatability and humanity, and relatable versus iconic and aspirational. But then in the 90s, again, what I said, you know, Death of Superman, they made Superman die and showed that he wasn't perfect. And that was when people started responding. That was in the 80s. And then early 90s, we got Batman the Animated Series, and we got Superman the Animated Series, and we got Justice League and all this wonderful fucking shit. And then the storytelling became on a way different level with Bruce Timm, Paul Dini, all those guys. Just, they reinvented the game. And they're a big part of the reason why I think superhero shit is like as big as it is now. I don't think it would have been if we didn't have Batman the Animated Series, if we didn't have all that shit. We still had the Cold War going on, been fear of communism forever now. Yeah. Yeah. Man. Kevin Conroy is the best Batman, period. I agree with that. I like Bruce Greenwood. I thought he was great in one of the more recent Batmans. There's a tenderness to him. In Young Justice, that Batman, that's who he was. If, for those of you who don't know, he played one of the captains in Star Trek. He played like the father figure to Captain Kirk in those movies. And he does a phenomenal job. There's just something about the way he does it and the way he commits to it that's a little different, but it's a little more caring. It's a little more sympathetic, which I enjoyed. A tenderness, yeah, a little tenderness. So I got to go and help out with my mentor's podcast, the Womanpreneur Podcast. If you are trying to become an entrepreneur and you would like some advice, it is a phenomenal podcast I would recommend. Young Justice was pog. I got a mic drop doing Batman in class one night, though. Awesome, dude. Yeah, dude. As you should, Drywood Geek. All right, everybody. Here's some kisses. Here's some naughty faces for you all. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you listen to the podcast and want to be informed, there's really not a lot of different places you can go. Other than Twitter and maybe Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. But come join my Discord, which I have right there. You will be updated whenever I go live, whenever I have any big event. Come be a part of the Mukulele, the Mukai, the Brent Mukai podcast family. Come join in and talk to me if you'd like. We can just chill. Have a great night, everybody. If you are listening to this and want to join in on the fun live where I talk to people and actually have conversations, twitch.tv/Brent Mukai. Also, if you're listening to this on a podcast thing, it would mean the absolute fucking universe to me if you would go ahead and give it a rating and write up a little something, a little review. That shit means the world to me. If not, follow me across all social medias, Brent Mukai. You always come late, Todd81. It's cool. Be on the next stream. Come and hang out. Have a great night to you, Gossamer Goddess. Have a great night, everybody. As always, thank you so much for joining me here. Let me shout you out by name and thank you here. Nerdy Diva Nikki, Brooks Lyle, Drywood Geek, Gossamer Goddess, I Watch Bad Lion, Kelsosaurus Rex, S1, Faka, Tade, Tut, 81, Virgo Pros, V&K. I appreciate you guys. I'm going to go ahead and raid my friend Truey. Those of you listening to the podcast, thanks so much. Peace out. And my music was supposed to play there. There we go. All right, everybody. Peace be the journey. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.